Sacramento.
Glory, glory, Sacramento.
Roro with the goal.
Roro's going to take a shot. Oh, my. Do you believe it?
Cameron Nwassa charging forward, looking for a team to strike on distance. And it rattles in. Cameron Nwassa, the Sacramento kid.
That it was less about if and more about when Sacramento was going to join Major League Soccer. Well, folks, when is today? Your when has arrived.
Hello, Sacramento, and welcome back to the Rise of the Republic podcast. My name is Richard Ivanowski, and I am joined today by GT Battle, who is the host of another Sacramento Republic podcast. GT, why don't you tell the good people listening about your podcast?
Yeah, thanks, Rich, and thanks for having me on, and thanks for that shout-out. So I'm GT Battle. I'm hosting a brand-new podcast. Called the SRFC podcast. You can all find me on Twitter at SRFC pod. And I really just, I wanted to get kind of my voice out there and try to provide a little bit of tactical breakdown of the Republic from their games. And really just if anyone is new to the game or new to the Republic, they could listen in and learn about the team themselves, learn about the coach, and maybe see the game from a different perspective and learn about the game from a different perspective. And I also like to talk about the international game. So if anyone is interested in the international game but is new to the Republic, or if there's fans out there that love both, then I hope my show would be for you. And a little about my soccer background. I went to the very first Republic game down at Sac City College, and that was in, I believe, 2014, right? And so I've been following the team, maybe not week by week up until this season necessarily, but it's definitely been fun to watch the team. And obviously with the whole COVID crisis, it's been an up and down season so far, but I've enjoyed it. And I watch games from all around Europe and the World Cups and all the international competitions. I'm a Chelsea fan myself, so if anyone's out there that doesn't like Chelsea, don't hold that against me or my podcast. But I'm also a USA soccer fan too, so I'm always supporting the U.S. in any international competition. And I've played the game my whole life. I've coached a little bit at the high school level, so I'm really just a really big soccer fan. And I'm happy to be talking about the team that we all love and the area that we all love with the Sac Republic.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. I'll definitely say that you absolutely should go check out the SRFC podcast. And that is not just because GT has joined me here today. I've been listening to all the podcasts out there. There's a lot of them now, all of a sudden, including my own, mine and Blake's. They're really coming out of the woodwork with the announcement of the MLS, and I think that's great. I think it's really awesome to have all that content out there. There really hasn't been that much over the years, so it deserves to grow. And your podcast is, you mentioned it, you like to talk tactics. That's what's really drawn me to yours in particular. It's not just news and notes, which I know that I tend to stick with because I'm newer to soccer, but I really want to get into those conversations with you. But the first thing I want to ask about is, since you've been with following the team for so long, what would be your sort of general observations about this team this year as compared to past years? What's like standing out to you, especially in the transition from just last year to this year? Because I did come in relatively cold. All the games that I've watched, all the games I've attended, I just kind of went to, root for the team, and I wasn't paying attention as closely to the roster and the tactics and the shape and the formation. So what are like the biggest changes for the team this season?
So that's a really good question. And that's something that I really haven't put too much thought into early in the season, other than the fact that I know that Coach Briggs likes to press high, and has been mentioned in the telecast on almost every single game, that's one of his strong suits is being aggressive as a coach. So he's always trying to win the ball back. And you see that a lot in the European game now. It's kind of a fad. And you'll see that throughout the world of soccer, you know, there's formations and the way that teams set up, it kind of goes in trends. And so that's one of the main trends right now is to press high and win the ball back in the opponent's half or even in their own defending third. And so I'm seeing that a lot from Coach Briggs early in the season. And I like that personally. It's aggressive. He wants to win the ball back and be on the front foot. And he wants to win the ball back and to knock it around, to keep hold of possession. And that's almost a form of the most aggressive style of defending that you can have, is to just try to win it back immediately after losing it. So I'm actually really intrigued with that. At the very highest level, you've seen it with Pep Guardiola and his Barcelona teams. And that's basically the apex of that style of soccer that you want to see. And so I really like that style. It's very entertaining for the casual fan or even the people that are watching it from a tactical level. It's really entertaining to watch and to witness and see how the success of it works. And so that's what I noticed immediately from this team early in the season. And I've actually noticed that we haven't been seeing it a whole lot over the last maybe game or two. And that's maybe to do with the fact that defensively there might be some more leaks than we're hoping for. So that's the main thing I think that jumped out to me is that, you know, and I know Coach Briggs comes from England. He's from Wolverhampton, I believe. So he's bringing some of those European styles over, and that was one of the main things that jumped out to me.
Yeah, he's a big Wolves guy, I know. But yeah, you know, the one question that I keep asking myself about previous seasons, obviously Roro was here in the past, but not last year. And he's just such a creative force in the midfield. You know, you see it, we saw it in this most recent game against San Diego. Without him, this team just really feels like it lacks a lot of creativity in the midfield. So, like, what were they doing? Like, the question I keep asking myself is, like, what were they doing in the midfield without Robro last year? Like, who was there? Is there a player that was an engine of this midfield without him?
You mean last year?
Yeah, I'm just trying to, like, because when he's not on the pitch, it just feels like there's not much creativity. But I know that, you know, Sacramento has been pretty successful basically every year.
Right. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure who was there last year when he wasn't with the team. But, well, I know Skundrich has been around. And I know that Skundrich has been playing every single game. He's played every minute, I believe, this season. And or he started every game at the very least. So he's definitely someone in the midfield that is that engine, like you mentioned. And he's able to kind of – I like to think of him as more of like an enforcer. So he's got that big body, you know, and he's able to just win the ball back. He can play a little bit too. He's shown that he has the ability to make some nice passes, to drive the ball long and set up an attack. And he can dribble past a few defenders too in opposition midfielders. We just don't see it too often. And that's a good point that you made. And I think you made that point watching that San Diego game on Twitter. I had seen that. And a lot of people were seeing the same thing. Like, hey, where's Roro? This is a game that's, you know, it's screaming for him to come in and break down the defense and provide some spark and some creativity and some passing that's not really predictable. So sometimes you'll see that from a midfield where they're just predictable in the passing and they're looking backwards and sideways and not looking forward all the time, not looking for that ball that's going to break the lines. And that's something Roro provides. So it's nice to have him back, but I hope we get to see more of him in the future.
Yeah, and sticking with the midfield for now, the Republic have been playing with three midfielders, and that's something that my co-host Blake, who isn't able to join us tonight, really loves. He loves having those three in the middle to kind of jam up the middle and, you know, stop the ball from basically stop the attack before it happens often. What are you seeing from these guys? So Skundrich, you mentioned, Roro, we've mentioned, but, you know, Villarreal and Wheeler Amanu, have kind of, it seems like they're kind of like for like, and if I don't know that they've even played alongside each other quite yet, but they're kind of in contention for that third spot. How do you think the midfield play has been so far, and who do you kind of like it for that third spot?
So I think it's been decent, but not earth shattering. And you mentioned the other two guys there, Wheeler Aminu and Villarreal. It's pretty much the same thing that you mentioned, that I think they're almost interchangeable. And I think, like, so this last game we saw Republic going with a 4-2-3-1. And so those two sitting in front of the back four were Skundrich and Wheeler Aminu. And they're almost the same type of guy. I mean, they're both kind of enforcers. They're gonna work hard. They're gonna win the ball back. They're gonna cover a lot of space, which is great. You always want that out of your defensive midfielders. But I think it might be better if you have one there and put Roro with him, so you get a little more creativity. And you mentioned the three-man midfield. I definitely like Roro in that holding midfielding role. And you can push the other two a little bit higher. So that's your three-man midfield. And you can have Skundrich playing a little bit, or even vice versa. I mean, I think they're all pretty interchangeable, to be perfectly honest. You know, we saw one game, I think it was against Tacoma, that we played, that Sac ended up going with three center backs and then the two wing backs. And that left three in the midfield. So they went with basically a 3-5-2 formation. So those three in the mid were Roro sitting deep and the other two pushing a little more forward, Skundrich and Wheeler Aminu. And Roro playing that deep was interesting to me. I actually really liked it. And it's called in Italy, they call it a regista, where that guy just sits in front of the back four or the back three and just picks balls and pings them everywhere. He can play the long 40-yard ball over the top to a wing back. He can pick the ball up from a center back and just keep it moving. And it's just, he's pulling the strings from back there. I thought that was a really cool role for him. And I also had mentioned previously that, you know, that role for him may not, it might help mask a little bit of some of the defensive issues or deficiencies that come along with his game and sort of in his legs at this stage of his career. So having those other two midfield engines, like you mentioned, around him definitely help him cover that space and provide that protection for him to be able to pick the ball up and just play and play, use his quality on the ball. So I would say that my favorite midfield out of, if I'm using a three in the middle, is definitely Roro, Skundrich, and Wheeler Aminu, and Villarreal can get in that mix too.
Yeah, I like that because, you know, Villarreal, I think he has a lot of energy, and I kind of like him as a sub in that role because when he, you know, a lot of the subs that the Republic have brought on honestly feel a little bit flat at times, but when it's Villarreal, I think he brings a lot of momentum into the game, and he really can get up and down as well. But yeah, Wheeler Aminu, he played really well in that one match way back in March. And then, yeah, I don't know. He's fallen off a little bit, but for the most part, it does seem like they're interchangeable. And then the three in general seem to be rotating. That's something that Blake has brought up a lot, that Roro will be playing up, and then he'll circle around the back and he'll kind of sit back for a minute and the other two will move up, or they really can take each other's spots, which is definitely nice. But yeah, going to the back line, you know, Apollon has been the coolest story of the year, arguably. Well, maybe the two coolest stories of the year have been on the back line between him and Sargis. But yeah, what have you seen from the defense so far this season?
Yeah, you hit it right on the head, and those two are the main stories for me. I was waxing poetically about Hayden Sargis from this last game, and Ash Apollon too. I mean, playing as a wingback, I think, is perfect for him, and that's why I think playing the three center back system brings out the best in this lineup currently. that Briggs has, and that's with the Barahona being out injured. I think he's out for the season. And so Apollon playing as a left winger, he's almost a left winger by trade, and so putting him as a left wing back brings out some of the best in his qualities, and he's shown a lot defensively too. He's surprised me. And yeah, like you said, that story is just amazing. I mean, it's inspirational. It's like true to Sacramento, right? And Hayden Sargis, I think that this kid is, and he's really a kid, which is crazy. And I think the sky's the limit for him. He shows a lot of quality on the ball. He can pick a pass with both his feet. He plays good under pressure. You know, he's got the ball in his own third around the box and just cool and composed on the ball. Can pick a pass. He can break lines, the other midfielder lines, with his long balls on the ground, and it just gets right into the attacker's feet, and that's the perfect ball you want. He can play a long ball. I've seen it happen two or three times now where it's perfectly weighted, a 40-yard just searching ball over the top, and it's perfectly weighted for a ball, guy running onto it. And, I mean, just everything about the guy, his aerial presence, his positional awareness. So he knows where he needs to be as a center back. He's able to anticipate crosses coming in, anticipate runs being made. He's just the full package, to be honest. And for such a young kid, he's got a big build about him too. And that's exactly what you want out of a center back. So I think the sky's the limit for him. I just hope Sac can keep a hold of him as long as we can. And especially going into MLS over the next few years.
Yeah, he really does have kind of, I would say, a star quality. You know, you mentioned the size. Like that's a and just in general, I think center backs can become fan favorites really easily, just being kind of in that leadership role, and just the fact that he can really do it all. He's gonna get a goal here pretty soon. He almost had a goal against I think it was the LA Galaxy too, with a blistering header. And as far as the other guys back there, I've really liked McCrary. You know, he's not a perfect player by any means, but he's really surprised me with some nice attacking runs. And, you know, Hilliard Arce, he seems relatively solid too. It's interesting. I know there's been apparently there's been a little bit of tension between him and Sargis just going off of that one strange outburst on the pitch where they're kind of yelling at each other, or rather Tomas Hilliard Arce was yelling at Sargis. But as far as that pairing and even going to like a three back system, are you're comfortable with Hilliard Arce back there? And if you do three backs, is it Mahoney you want back there as well?
Yeah, I am pleased with Hilliard Arce, and I'm glad you mentioned him too. I think he's a good pairing with Sargis, you know, that outburst aside, and the fact that, you know, he's kind of a veteran presence. He's pretty, like, a pretty big strapping dude himself, and a good, you know, strong center back that he's able to hold his own. He's able to talk with Sargis. That's the main thing between center backs, is they're always communicating. And, you know, one guy gets pulled out of position, your partner needs to be yelling at you to come back into position. So I think they've got that relationship, which is good. And I think just bringing that veteran presence along and having been around to a couple different leagues and a few different teams for him, that's definitely some really valuable experience that could help Sargis out. So I'm really actually pleased with that center back pairing. And the third center back, if it transitions into a three back system, yeah, Mahoney has shown some good qualities there. I know he can also play a little right back as well. I wouldn't actually mind seeing it. You know, this is probably too much tinkering, but I think Skundrich has a little bit of the body and the type and the ability on the ball to be dropped back into a center back position. But that's probably a little too much fantasy. I'm playing a little too much FIFA there and tinkering a little too much, but. Yeah, I think the defenders overall have been decent. And McCrary, like you mentioned, he showed some really good qualities going forward as that right wing back. So I think there's some really good options there. And, yeah, just hopefully it can all come together.
Yeah, and it seems like Shannon Gomez is going to be coming back as well. So I don't know much about him, quite frankly, but from what I've heard around from other podcasts, there's a little excitement on him returning with Barahona out. So that could be a little reinforcement there. You may have noticed I've been saving the forwards for last, but I will touch on goalkeeping just for a second. I don't think there's like too much to get into. It seems like Grinwis is the one and Diaz is the two, and that's probably how it's going to be for a while, but I'll give you a chance to speak on Grinwis or the backup situation if you have much to say.
Yeah, I mean, so we saw Diaz, and he made his professional debut, I think, in this last game against San Diego. He didn't have a whole lot to do, right? But he had that one pretty quick reaction save that he had to make right at the end of the first half. So that was nice to see. And other than that, I don't think he had a whole lot to do. There were a few corners where, you know, he had the opportunity where he could have possibly come out a bit, but he stayed on his line, which is okay. He made the decision. As far as Grinwis, I haven't been totally convinced of them, to be honest. You know, there were a few goals that he's given up where it seems like he might have been, I don't know, just not as quick to react. He's gotten beat at his near post, which is you know, the sin of all goalkeepers. That's like the one thing you don't want to give up, and I've never been a keeper myself, so it's hard for me to start and criticize keepers if I've never been in that role. But you know, that's the number one rule, is you don't want to get beat at your near post. So, and that's happened a couple of times with him, and just a few decisions that haven't seemed to be the best decision to make as a keeper. And so hoping to see some improvement there once Grinwis is able to come back, or unless if Diaz is able to hold down that starting role, then more power to him, and it'll only benefit the team.
So let's get to the attack, because this is the key to the whole team as far as I'm concerned. Not only the key of kind of the struggles to a certain degree, but I think it informs the shape and the formation of the team, whatever ends up being settled here. We've seen so much change, and I think it's all due to the attack. Are you going to have, you know, dual strikers? Are you going to do that? Are you going to play Iwasa holding a little bit at the 10? Are you going to have Werner or Bijev out on the wing? Is Belmar going to give us what we're hoping he's going to give us? Formella has a brace and then does nothing for three games, really. And Iwasa is obviously this like larger than life figure as far as the history of the club goes, but this whole attack seems like a mess to me.
Yeah. Again, you're not far off. You know, it seems that, to me, it seems like Coach Briggs just doesn't know what his answer is as far as the attack goes. There's been so much changing, like you mentioned, and Iwasa has been used, then he gets benched, and Formella comes in. He gets his brace, like you mentioned, and then he does nothing for the next two or three games. And not to say that he's done nothing, because I played as a striker, and so if having that ability to hold the ball up and play with your back to goal is not – to be minimalized or marginalized. It's an important aspect of playing as a striker. So I like what Formella can do there, but again, a striker has to score goals. That's what they're paid for. It's what they're there for. So if he's not scoring, then it's kind of tough. And Iwasa hasn't been, in my opinion, hasn't been at the best of his game. You know, some of his touches are off. And what I like about his game is that he has good movement. He has good work rate, good work ethic. You know, if there's a run that he has to make at the near post just to draw a defender away to open up another run at the back post for his teammate, he'll make that run and he'll try his hardest to get there. So I admire that, and his teammates love him for that. But some of the quality has been lacking, certainly. And it's tough. You know, you want to see more from guys like Vili and Bijev, who have that ability. They've shown it. They've shown flashes where he's got the ability to just come in on that foot, on that right foot, and just hit a curler to the far post or hit a screamer from, you know, 25 yards out. But it's just so inconsistent, and the confidence isn't there right now. Sam Werner is another example. You know, that game against San Diego, I just didn't see any confidence out of him. some of his crosses were just completely, you know, out, into the stands, into outer space. And Belmar, another, you know, he got his chance to start, albeit out wide. He probably wants to play through the middle, being a number nine, but that was his chance to impress, and he didn't do a whole lot. I mean, he set up a cross for Sam Werner at the far post, and that was probably the only action that both of them had all game. So, yeah, you know, I think it's just a lot of inconsistency, and it's tough because once you start tinkering, you're not able to find the best shape of your team. It affects your attackers because they're not sure what their role is going to be and where they're going to be playing on the field and if they're even going to be playing. And then there's that the other option of Roro. You know, do you play him as an attacking midfielder, as a number 10, just underneath the striker to try to link up and try to score some goals from the midfield? Or, as we mentioned, do we drop him a little deep? So, you know, it's tough. Coach Briggs has shown a lot of different options, and I think he's still trying to find the best one. So yeah, that's why he gets paid to do the job that he's doing. But it's not an easy job at this point. And some of his players are, I would say, you know, giving him a little bit of a difficult choice right now. What do you think on that?
Yeah, it's really hard to figure out. What's so tough about it is we've seen like a ton of different looks already. Like I through just a handful of games, like we've seen like a kind of like a 4-3-3. We've seen like a 3-5-2. We saw this weird, I mean, you know, in some of these you can call slightly different formations just depending on where the wings are playing, but you know, the 4-2-3-1 type look we saw, like it just seems like it's all over the place. I'm not really too concerned about – it feels like you need those three midfielders in there clogging up the middle, and that's going to be the case pretty much in any – that's like the linchpin of Briggs' system. Mm-hmm. And I think you've got enough quality at the back that you can go two center backs or you can go three center backs, and I'm not too worried about that. Like, at the same time, I don't need Mahoney to be on the pitch, for example. So – I think it's about solving the attack, and once you figure out what you need, you just roll with it, I guess. I personally, to, you know, to play a little FIFA here, I probably, oh man, this is the toughest part about it. I don't know the answer either. I feel like I've just not been impressed with Formella. I think I probably would try Cam in the middle going forward and just bank on his history and bank on his ability to get in form and to figure it out and put some goals in the net. And then I probably would use Werner on one side and maybe Belmar, maybe Bijev, depending, probably Belmar, because I think Bijev looks a little bit, he looks a little bit washed. I love his creativity, but physically, I just think that Belmar brings so much more strength and speed. I think I'd prefer Belmar. Werner is kind of a nice combination of the two. But yeah, I probably would have put Sam, Werner, and Sam and Cam, and probably Belmar in the front, and just hope that works, and use Formella as a sub, and Bijev as well. What about you? Like, if you're playing FIFA, how are you building this team?
So I'm probably going to go with three up front, and I'm probably going to go with Iwasa as well to start as the center forward there. And then I probably would stick with Bijev just because I know there's something there. And I know he can offer me something. And even if it comes with a little bit of, you know, defensive on the defensive side, sometimes it might lack a little bit and some of the energy. So I want to start with those two guys because I know they have the quality. I know it's there. I've seen it. And it's just a matter of getting it on a consistent level. And then the opposite side, you know, it's interchangeable for me between Werner and Belmar. I think they both provide some good qualities. Werner has got that sweet left foot. He can hit a strike from distance. Belmar's got some good pace and energy, and he's got a nose for goal as well. And like you said, Formella coming off the bench, he can change a game. So I think he can definitely make a difference coming off the bench if you give him about 30 minutes or so. So that's kind of how I would set the team up and the shape up. But, you know, it hasn't been all roses yet to this point. So your guess is as good as mine, I guess, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, just looking forward looking at the game against San Diego, and then looking forward to Portland 2 days from now, or perhaps tomorrow by the time this comes out. In general, I think it's safe to say that the results from the last few games have been disappointing. If you have any last minute observations from San Diego you want to throw in, feel free to do so. And just looking forward, it does seem like Portland is a team that maybe this could be a get right game, since they've given up, I think, 13 goals in 4 matches. Anything else looking forward or looking back there?
Yeah, just looking forward to Portland. Like you mentioned, they've given up a lot of goals. They've been really leaky in the back. So they just gave up 4, I believe, to Tacoma this past weekend. And it's a Tacoma team that Sac was all over in that first half when we played them in the first in the second or third game of the season. And Sac was just all over them in the first half and ended up going up 3-1. But, of course, that second half calamity and letting them back in to give up the draw there. I think Sac's got to start on the front foot again and just – really, like you said, it's a get-right game. It's get the confidence going. Start putting as many goals away as you can. Get them early. Start pressing them high. Win the ball back. Get some confidence. And this could really be a springboard if Sac is able to take advantage. So I think Portland has come at the right time for this team, to be honest. And not to pick on Portland, but they've been pretty terrible defensively. And I just saw some of the highlights from that Tacoma game. You know, the keeper was coming out pretty wildly, and the back line looked all over the place for them. So they're ripe for the taking, and I hope the Sac can take advantage. And I'm sure that Coach Briggs is telling his guys that, hey, this is our chance to really push on this season, and let's forget what happened in the past, and let's look forward right now.
Final question here. I know in your last pod you talked about kind of finding the best 11 guys and sticking with it. I mean, how much rotation are you comfortable with as far – I mean, we've seen it. I thought it was interesting because this lineup that put out there against San Diego was pretty different from the most recent ones. Obviously, row off. They switched out Wheeler Aminu for Villarreal. We saw a lot of changes. Are you okay with that? I originally had thought that was because of the short week. That was the lineup announced for Wednesday against I believe it's Orange County that they they didn't end up playing that game. So I thought, well, okay, well, this is the rotation due to the three games in 7 days. So they're just going to get some rest. And then they stuck with it. And maybe that on the flip side of that, maybe you just can't do that to a player. When you say they're going to start, you got to start them the next time. But are you okay with rotation, a high level of it, or do you just want to find the 11?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a little bit it could be seen as a little bit too much. And, you know, just because he told the guys that, hey, you're starting on Wednesday and the game's canceled doesn't mean that he should be obligated to start them on Saturday, in my opinion. And so I think that we've seen a little bit too much rotation. You know, I might be changing out a couple of guys from the midfield, one or two wingers here and there. But I think it's just been a lot of chopping and changing, and the shape has changed. The formation's changed a lot. So it's probably hard to find a consistency from the player's side too. You know, they're probably thinking, you know, I don't know where I'm playing the next game. I don't know what role I'm going to be having in the next game, as much as they work on it in training. And I think it's good to have that flexibility, the ability to do it. But I think it's been a little bit too much, in my opinion. So I'm hoping that it gets settled down a little bit, and that a more established, at least 8 or 9 guys are established and
can be seen used more often than not. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing in this Portland game. Hopefully this game can be a springboard moving forward with a more consistent starting 11.
Yeah, especially against Portland. Just put your best 11 on the pitch, and hopefully we see – I mean, I don't want to go crazy, but hopefully we see a flurry of goals. That would be – that would go a long way to solving the problems of the Republic right now. And just stick with that 11. You know, find the guys and stick with them. Here's hoping for more consistency. And thank you so much for joining us. I want to make sure everyone out there goes and listens to the SRFC podcast. You can find that in all your podcast players, or at least the ones that I listen in. And you can also follow along GT on his Twitter feed at SRFC podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rich. I appreciate it. And happy to always come back and talk some soccer about the Sac Republic. And you guys have a really good thing going with your podcast. So thanks for the opportunity, and good luck to you.